kids.
Tane, Thorin, and Thea.
Good job.
Yeah, very good. Now, here's a question. With Christy sitting in the back, when your kids get hurt, because they do, yeah, when they come into the house crying, who do they come to, you or Christy?
If we're both in the same room, usually Christy.
Usually Christy.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
She has a mother's heart, and she just knows how to take the pain away.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Say, so hey, if you're watching out there, do me a favor. In the comment box, would you just write the name or the relationship with the person who you would go to when you were younger if you were hurting? You know, is it a parent? Is it a grandparent? Is it a sister, a sibling, an aunt or uncle? Or even as an adult, when you're deep in pain, who do you go to right now? So, Tim, I'm going to stereotype a little bit. This may not be true in your house, but the stereotype may even be a couple decades old. But I think the typical reactions of dads, again, stereotyping, when a kid comes in crying, dads will say something like, oh, come on, tough it up.
Walk it off.
Walk it off. Rub some dirt on it. You're not hurt, right? But if mom's in the room, or if they see dad and realize mom's not there, they're going to go find mom, because she will say something like, oh, come here, crawl on up here. Let me hug you. I'm going to kiss it and make it better. I'll get you a Band-Aid. They say things like that. That's that mothering touch, like you call it, okay? I've been working with you and known you and Christy for well over a decade. I know you before you had kids all the way to now when you have three. So I bet that I can share some of your process. Yeah, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing I'm not too far off. So let's pretend Tane or Thorin or Thea comes running into the room in tears, obvious pain, right? The first thing in your guys' process is you probably draw the child in, and get them hugged, some sort of physical contact for them to know mommy's here, daddy's here. That's the first thing. Second thing, you try and calm them down. You know, you get them calm enough to where they can figure out what's going on. And that might be something like, shh, you know, just kind of holding them. But I know a favorite phrase of Christie's is breathe. Take a breath.
Take a breath.
Take a breath. Yep. Right? So that'd be the second part in this process. The third, and if it's possible, you deal with the immediate pain. Mm-hmm. You know, if they burn themselves, you run a little cold water on it. If they cut themselves, maybe it's some gentle pressure and a Band-Aid. Maybe, and this is like 98.5% of the time, they just need a kiss. Yeah. So mom gives it a kiss and makes it better. You address the immediate pain. Mm-hmm. Those are the first three steps. Now, whether in the moment or a little bit later, I'm guessing that you guys as parents will kind of talk about with the kid what happened. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so it could be something like, hey, Taner, when you tried to stop Thorin from slamming the door and you stuck your hand in between the door and the door jamb, what did you learn, bud? Mm. You know, so you're helping coach them through. Maybe more applicable recently, because Thea learned to ride without training wheels, yes, ride her bike.
Yep.
So if she wipes out, which she's gonna at some point, the conversation could be, hey, you were riding so fast down the driveway, but a car was coming in, and you wrecked, and now your knee's bleeding. Why do you think you wrecked?
Well, she's learning how to use her brakes right at the moment, so that's pretty applicable.
Okay, good. good. My parents would do the same thing for me. Like, they'd talk me through after the fact. In fact, there might have been one or two times where it's like, okay, James, the doctor has now stitched up your head. Tell me, do you think you should jump from the moving bicycle into the back of a station wagon?
What?
Tell me what wins, the trailer hitch or your head? Learning opportunities. That's not too far off there. Mm-hmm. As a parent, we absolutely want our kids to come to us in their pain. We absolutely want to address the pain, but we also want our kids to learn through the pain. Now, perhaps if I can say it like this, we want them to learn to listen through their tears. Through their tears. The question comes, are they willing to listen through the pain? You know, as an adult, it's easy for us to nod and to know that the kids should listen. I mean, you've got to learn not to grab the hot cookie sheet right out of the oven without using a hot pad, right? So as adults, we nod and say, kids, you need to learn from this. Like, listen through your tears. But here's the question for us. Are we willing to do the same? As adults, are we willing to do the same? You know, I wonder, I don't have to wonder too long, but I wonder if sometimes God is trying to communicate with us through our pain. I wonder, is he trying to help us listen better through the tears? And then, of course, our question comes, are we even willing to listen. We're going to chew on that for a little bit this morning. Before I do, though, let's pray again. Lord God, as we have become so accustomed to doing, we ask that you would speak today as we open up your story to us. We ask that not only you would speak, but you would help us to hear and understand. Your son said, he who has ears to hear, let him listen. So let that be the case this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So First Church, since the last Sunday in April, we have been in a sermon series that we've titled, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Listen to God. In this series, we've seen that God still wants to communicate with us. Maybe it looks like the times in Scripture, in the stories of this book, but other times it looks quite different. Whatever the case, we have been saying all along, we need to learn to listen better. We need to practice this, because it is a learned skill. Now, so far in this series, we've looked at several ways God could help us learn to listen better. Practical things, I've called them practical practices to practice. Things that can help us hear God more clearly. Things like stillness or silence. We can hear God through His Word, through others, or through dreams. In the comment box, as we've been practicing these things over the last 6 weeks, would you write down which of those has been the most challenging for you, and perhaps which has been the most beneficial? So stillness, silence, through His Word, through others, and through dreams. Today, we look at the idea that God can speak to us through pain or through our tears. Now, there are some people, believe it or not, there are some people who will claim that when you start to follow Jesus, your life becomes happy and clappy. It becomes easy and light. Let me tell you this, they're wrong. I don't typically say something like that, but they're just flat out wrong. Pain happens. It happens to people who are following Jesus. It happens to people who are not. It happens to good people, to bad people, to rich people, to poor people. Pain happens from the day the doctor slaps you on the rear end to the day he closes your eyelids after you've breathed your last. Well-known author and well-loved preacher Eugene Peterson says it well. He says, entering into a life of faith, following Jesus, centering our life in worship of God, does not exempt us from suffering or from pain. Christians get cancer in the same proportion to non-Christians. Believers are involved in as many automobile accidents as non-believers. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, it hurts just as much after you've accepted Christ as it did before. Pain happens. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, he said, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. He doesn't say you might, or only bad people will. He says you will have many trials and sorrows. And sure, Christians, we like to think towards the day, that beautiful someday when John the Revelator said in Revelations 21, verse 3 and 4, he said, I heard a shout from heaven, from the throne, saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And then this is what we like to long for. Verse 4 says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these things will be gone forever. I mean, that just, I long for that day of no more pain. But that day is not now. That day is not yet. While we are on this globe, you know, making circles around the sun, we will have pain, period. That's it. I mean, if you've never experienced pain, just wait. You will. Our question for today is not will we experience pain, but if God is trying to say something to us through the pain, are we willing to listen? Mark Batterson, in his book Whisper, which I've quoted a few times during this series, he writes this. He says, many lead actors and actresses in Scripture endured dark nights of the soul, painful dark nights of the soul. Job lost everything. Sarah wrestled with infertility. Moses was a fugitive for 40 years. David had a father-in-law who tried to kill him. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Peter struggled with self-doubt after he denied even knowing Jesus. And Paul had memories of murder seared into his soul. Now, they also had one thing in common. They heard God's whispers in their darkest hours. They heard God's whispers in their darkest hours, and they all came out the other side by His grace. So, friends, if God is trying to say something to us through our pain, will we be able to listen? And I say if on purpose because I don't believe God always is trying to say something through our pain. Sometimes things just happen that cause us pain, and sometimes God's not going to do anything with it. But there are times when God is trying to communicate with us. And a couple examples in Scripture. Two main ways I see this played out. First is when the pain is us-induced, you know, self-induced. And then the other time is when pain just happens, no fault of our own. So the first is this. When the pain is induced by us, God can use it to more clearly communicate with us. And I see this actually in two different ways also. The first has more of a positive spin on it. It's if we do something purposefully to create pain in order to hear God more clearly. And I'm thinking of something like fasting. I mean, fasting, not eating, hurts. We like to eat. So if you miss lunch on purpose, you know, maybe your stomach is slightly uncomfortable. But if you fast all day, by the time dinner gets there, your head's starting to hurt. If you fast for several days, your body feels it. And Moses, in the story of Scripture, fasted for 40 days. So did Elijah. So did Jesus. Other characters fasted for lesser time segments. But in each of those cases, these people were fasting because they were seeking to be more connected with God. They were seeking to hear from God more clearly. I didn't specifically count how many times, but numerous times in Scripture, the phrase prayer and fasting is used together. So if we assume that prayer is both talking to God and listening to God, which is what we've been looking at, then fasting becomes this intentional us-induced pain that we can hear God better through. Another author named Lauren Winter, in her book Mudhouse Sabbath, she's quoting one of the Christian greats. It's this. She says, "Fasting is to be, as St. Thomas Aquinas once wrote, a perfect quieting of all our impulses, fleshly and spiritual. Fasting is not meant to drag us down, but to still us. It's not meant to distract us from the really real, but to silence us so that we can hear things as they most truly are." The pain in fasting can help us hear things as they most truly are. This is self-induced pain that's got a positive spin on it. We can kind of grin and nod with that, like, oh yeah, I can wrap my mind around that. But I said there was two kinds of self-induced pain. The second kind has to do with our choices, has to do with sin in our lives, things that we purposely do that I want to be so bold as to say God then uses or causes pain that we can learn from. And I know this makes us squirm a little bit. It's made me squirm all week. I have not enjoyed thinking about it. But example, some of you know I've been spending time with King David lately in the Old Testament. Yeah, and often you know the story when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He got her pregnant and then killed her husband. And he did that to rectify the situation, but God did not like that. He wasn't too pleased with this, didn't take it too kindly. So in a hard-to-swallow passage, after the prophet Nathan had confronted King David on his sin, David confessed and repented, and we still read this. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 to 16. Said, "Then David confessed to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' Nathan replied, 'Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord by doing this, so your child will die.'" Verse 15, "After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife." Catch that. The Lord sent this deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife. And David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. Ultimately, if you know the story, the baby did die. And through this episode, King David absolutely heard from God that God takes sin seriously. And sin has consequences, even David's own sin, even the sin of the appointed king. So David's self-induced choice, according to the story, led to God-inflicted pain. I mean, that's hard for us to imagine because we're always talking about this loving God, and it's hard to think he's going to cause pain so that we could hear from him better. Now, maybe a couple of life examples would work, would help us understand this better. I've seen people, frankly, I've lived this, where you worked yourself to the bone. Sun up to sundown, late into the night you're working, and you get so worn down that it's not uncommon for people to get sick. perhaps physical illness, right? And perhaps God is telling them, hey, you're sick now because you need to learn to slow down and live a more realistic pace. Perhaps you've worked yourself so hard that emotional illness comes. Carrie Newhoff, who's a notable leadership expert, an author, a church planter, a pastor, in his recent book, he tells the story of the burnout that happened to him from overwork, from trying to carry too much of a load. And that burnout led to suicidal thoughts. Now, listen, please, please, please hear me on this. I am not saying that every time somebody gets sick, it's God saying, slow down. And I'm not saying that God causes suicidal thoughts. I'm simply saying that there are times. There's times when the choices we make in life, they're detrimental. They're harmful. And God does use this pain to get our attention. Okay? So there's the first example in Scripture of how God uses pain to get our attention. That's self-induced. Something we have done that causes pain that God uses to speak through. Now, the second has nothing at all to do with our choices. Now, I realize some people will write me deep theological emails talking about the consequences of, you know, sin and everything. And let's not go there. I'm just going to say there's times in life where pain just happens. And we didn't do anything to deserve it. Okay? Some may say God allows this pain instead of saying he causes it. I don't know if he allows it or causes it or what. I'm okay saying I don't know fully. But I think of something like, you know, natural disasters. I don't believe God wipes out hundreds of thousands of people in earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis in an effort to speak more clearly to their relatives. I don't believe God causes these things, you know, wrings his hands in a devious way and charts the course of the tornado to make sure he's taking out the most sinful and terrible people on the earth. I don't believe that. Now, I do believe God has the power to stop these things. And I don't know why he doesn't. So the question again comes back to not if we're experiencing pain, but will we listen in the middle of it? So if we haven't done anything, a great example of this in the story of Scripture, and you probably figure I'm going here, is Job, the man of sorrows in the Old Testament. If you don't know the story, God allowed him to get hit pretty hard. Read Job chapter 1 and 2, and you'll see what I mean by God allowed it. Job lost everything, family, property, even lost his health. And then for 37 chapters, it might be the longest conversation I've ever listened in on, 37 chapters, he and his friends sit around and they're dialoguing and they're having this agonizing discussion about why this would happen. And Job, rightfully so, had questions and he would ask these questions and, you know, God finally answered him. In Job chapter 38, verse 1, it begins, "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind." Now, when I read that, I had to smile. A little bit of a rabbit trail. Early on in the series, we talked about Elijah hearing from God. And God did not speak to him in the whirlwind. God didn't speak to him in his massive windstorm. But for some reason, God chose to speak to Job in the whirlwind. And what God said in verses 38 to 41 was so powerful that it really, really got Job's attention. In fact, listen to what Job said in Job 42. So this is after 37 chapters of Job and his friends sitting around talking about the pain that they thought Job deserved, but Job recognized maybe that he didn't. And then Job's asking God these questions, and then God responds. And then Job says this in Job 42. It says, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do anything and that no one can stop you. You asked, who is that person who questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about,' Job says, 'things far too wonderful for me. You said, God, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before,' Job says, 'but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance.'" Verse 4, right there, Job says to God, "You said, listen, and I will speak." Job heard God's voice in the midst of all the pain he was going through, pain that wasn't Job's fault at all, but pain that God allowed. Not our fault, but God still uses the pain to speak to us. You know, another easy example of this in Scripture is Jesus. I mean, here's a great example of someone who did nothing to deserve the pain and suffering that he went through, and yet he experienced such excruciating pain so deeply that none of us can even begin to fathom what he went through. So what does that look like for us today? I mean, I've kind of hinted at these already. Perhaps it's sickness or death. And we know God has the power to heal. We know God has the power to resurrect, to bring back to life. But there are times, many times, we've all experienced where God does not do it. People get sick. People die. It hurts. It's painful. The drunk driver kills an entire family and yet walks away from the crash without a scratch on him. The senior saint who has volunteered in the nursery rocking babies on her knee for 53 years and yet for some reason she gets a massive terminal cancer and within 3 weeks she's gone. Do we hear God through all of this? Can we? Should we hear God through all of this? Or should we at least be willing to attempt to listen if God is saying something? Listen, like I said earlier, I don't believe God always does speak through pain, but there are times he does. And the question I keep putting before us is, are we willing to listen? You know, I started off talking to Tim about his kids and how when they get hurt, they run to him. They run to Christy. People don't always run to God in their pain. Christians don't always run to God in their pain. Are we willing to at least listen in the middle of it? C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Problem of Pain. And in this, he writes, "Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Are we willing to listen? Now, each week during this sermon series, I've been asking you guys to put into practice some of what we've been learning that week. This last week, you were supposed to take a nap and see if God spoke it all through your dreams. I want to do that same thing again this week. I'm not suggesting you go out and do self-harm. If you want to fast for a meal or two or, you know, a day, by all means do that. But what if I gave you another idea? An idea that might not be as comfortable. If you've turned on the TV at all this past week, if you've opened your internet browser, you know that our country is experiencing some deep pain. There are divisions. There are expressions of hurt and hate, of passion and pain. I don't care what side of the fence you land on. And I'm not going to use my pulpit to push a specific agenda. I don't care if you're red or blue, Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, or any other box our country uses to put us in. I think we can all admit that there is deep pain in our country right now. And the question is God trying to say something to us? And if God is trying to say something to us through this, are we willing to listen? No matter what side of the line in the sand that's been drawn you fall on, are we willing to intentionally listen and then respond to God if he's calling us to do so? And I don't even know what that would look like for you, but I want to throw it out there. Maybe it's something as simple as praying a prayer like, "God, our nation is hurting. We are in pain. I am in pain. Is there something you are saying to me now that I need to hear?" Are we willing to come running to the Father in our tears and in our pain and listen to him through our tears? I want to be willing. As hard as it may be, I want to be willing. Will you join me? And we may not come to the same conclusions, but will you join me in doing all we can to listen to God through the pain that we're in? Let's pray. Father, we are hurting. As individuals, as family units, as a city, as a state, as a country, we can't turn the TV on, we can't open our phones, we can't hop on the internet without seeing the pain that we're in the midst of. And it's easy for us to say, "God, do something about this." But I have to wonder, are you calling us to do something? Are you calling us to listen to you? Whether it's a gentle whisper or whether it's through a windstorm, are you calling us to hear what you want us to say and then step into action of some sort? Father, I'm the first to admit I don't know all the answers. I can't put myself in the shoes of everybody who's going through the pains in different ways, whether it's families of the protectors or whether it's been families of the ones who have been oppressed. I don't understand it all. I know you do. And I know that this, well, I assume or I wonder if this could be one of those times that you use to speak loudly to us as a people of faith so that we can rise up and be the church for our neighbors, for our city, for this country. God, if you truly count our tears, you keep them in a bottle, you know what we're going through. And we take comfort in that. Would you help us have ears to hear this week as we purposely sit and ask the question, what do you want us to hear through what our country is going through now? I ask this cautiously. I ask this hesitantly. But I ask it boldly, knowing that if you do want to speak, I want to hear. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As our typical order of service goes, we're going to sing one more song before we give a benediction. But before we do that, two quick things. I want to ask you, if you're listening out there, has God ever spoken to you through something painful? And if he has, and if you're bold enough, if you're willing to do this, hop on our church Facebook page later in the week and just share your story. You don't have to go into too many details, but share whatever you're comfortable with, because your story of pain may encourage somebody else. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this. Before we sing, I'm going to have Tim quietly strum for just a moment or two. And I would encourage you to write a prayer in the comment box, a short prayer, one sentence, two sentences, a prayer for our nation. Don't politicize this, please. Just cry out to God. Doesn't have to be long. Just a short prayer saying, God, here's the cry of my heart. The prayers of God's people are powerful, whether we're in person when we're saying them or whether you're reading them on the screen. So if you would, in that comment box, just write a quick prayer. After a little bit of Tim playing quietly, we're going to sing a song, and then I might pray one or two of those prayers that you guys have written to wrap up. Let's spend this time before the throne.